Sir George Martin has died. The legendary producer was 90, which underscores just how long ago it was that he was the dapper young man who became the fifth Beatle, signing the four boys from Liverpool when no one else would. They'd transform the music world. He'd go on to produce other artists, Elton John, Jeff Beck, Ella Fitzgerald, 23 number one Billboard hits, more than any other producer. He crafted Elton John's Candle in the Wind tribute to Princess Diana, the James Bond Goldfinger theme. Milo Miles is a critic for Fresh Air, contributor to Rolling Stone. And Milo, your thoughts, are you being thrown back to all this great music?
Well, yes, I am. And what really has always struck me is that there are very few moments that change culture when in music, when a producer, a gifted producer, sees enormous untapped potential in otherwise unknown acts. It happened with Sam Phillips and Elvis Presley, when he said, boy, that kid isn't there yet, but he's got huge potential. And George Martin saw that same sort of huge potential in the Beatles when no one else particularly thought anything about them. And this is very revealing, I think, that their first album was called Meet the Beatles, because that's what he determined was the way to make them hugely popular, was that you would meet them, their personalities, their chemistry, the way they were together.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something.
If you listen to recordings that the Beatles made before they worked with George Martin, they're nothing special. They're, you know, the harmony vocals are a little better than average skiffle bands. But he was the one that saw, I can work with these guys and they will have the discipline and the ideas to really get these songs into something very special.
And I'm wondering if maybe something that George Martin heard had to do with the harmonies, because before the Beatles, he was mostly producing choral and orchestral music, and he always had that erudite, you know, always had a suit on. Do you think there was something there that he...
Well, there's the original idea, when you first encountered George Martin, it was just like, wow, what is making the Beatles so take over the world like this? What's going on? Why are their records? What's going on with their records? Well, George Martin, with his classical background, when I was a kid listening to these songs for the first time, the basic line on it was that classically trained George Martin was the real brains behind the outfit, and the Beatles, the musical illiterates comparatively, had to be just kind of his puppets, which is, of course, not true at all. But that was the line for a while. And then, you know, after a while, the Beatles themselves began to feel, you know, they kind of wanted to branch away from that and seemed to be less the product of George Martin, which I especially toward right toward the end of it, that Let It Be and things like that.
Let's listen to a little of Eleanor Rigby, which has that sort of some of that big orchestral sound, you're nodding.
Look at all the lovely people. Look at all the lovely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
Today we're hearing from other producers, Quincy Jones, who says we've been friends since 1964. You know, what did he do to elevate the producer?
Well, the producer was always a very important figure in a lot of ways. I mean, the problem with some producers is that they would feel that they were more important than the artist, just clearly, and what they wanted to do with the tune in the old factory sort of system, that was important. The artists, the singers, the players, they were just basically hired hands as far as some producers were concerned. Other producers had a kind of house sound, and so everybody would come in and either you fit into the house sound or you did not. There is a certain sort of sound that George Martin had, because to me, almost everybody else he produces sounds a little Beatlesque in some way, but he also let them have, as I say, you met the Beatles. You got the personalities of who he was presenting rather than his own, rather than his ideas. You got to interact with them. And his whole way of working was to, you know, work on it until we get you across, until the music comes first and is irresistibly well done and presented.
Josh Groban's tweeting out, every time I record at Abbey Road, the studio, I geek out because I'm playing with the mics Sir George Martin used. What an ear, what a life, what a legacy. David Cameron, Prime Minister. Sir George Martin was a giant of music, working with the Fab Four to create the world's most enduring pop music. It just is, I guess, one of those moments where everything was aligned.
Well, there's also a certain way that George Martin was a dramatic person. and we just had the end of Downton Abbey, which is a worldwide hit. And let's face it, everybody in the world loves British drama. And there is a good deal of that in the Beatles. And in some ways, they're kind of on stage on your stereo when you're listening to it.
Milo Miles, critic for Fresh Air, remembering Sir George Martin, who died at the age of 90. And what a legacy. He's the guy who said those four guys that are singing together, they're pretty good. And they were the Beatles. Milo, thank you.
Thank you.
Going to go home and listen to Yesterday. Which one are you going to listen to?
I just love the fact that we're able to listen to so many of them today. Right. I heard them this morning, and I hear them now. What great songs.
Yeah. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now.